Hey guys, this is James Johnson, and this is a review. This episode, we are reviewing Theodore Rawley's latest production of Once by Edna Walsh, Glenn Hansard, and Marketa Irglova.
I don't know you, but I want you all the more for that. And words fall through me and always fool me, and I can't react.
Now, normally we don't do reviews like this. Normally when we do reviews, we post them up on the website and see theaterstories.com as written essays. But this is a change of format for us. Once finished its run at the Kennedy Theater on September 23rd, but we were invited to review it on its last weekend anyway. We figured this would give us a good chance to try out the new format for our reviews, which we can then use with future reviews for shows that you can actually go and see. More on that later. I'm being joined by Allison Beto Woods, who will offer her perspective of the show in a moment, before we discuss some of the areas in which we differ. First, about Once. Once is a Tony Award-winning musical based on the 2007 independent film of the same name. It is a story about unrequited love. It's kind of the anti-love story. A story about what might have been. In it, we meet an Irish vacuum repairman, simply referred to in the program as Guy. He is played by the disturbingly handsome David Toole. It's seriously not fair how handsome this dude is. Guy is a struggling musician who, after losing the love of his life, played by the lovely Lauren Wainwright, has seemingly given up on himself. Fortunately, Guy meets Girl, played by the far too talented local actress Morgan Parpin. Girl is a Chechenian immigrant living in Ireland, raising a daughter alone. She is also a talented songwriter, and the two bond over their love of music while trying to fight their growing love for one another. I can safely say that I have never seen a musical quite like Once. While obviously Irish folk music is not something one typically finds in a modern musical, the thing that truly helped it stand out was the decision to have every person in the cast play an instrument, so that the show's actors also served as its band. This was actually a trend in Broadway musicals a few years back. I believe a revival of Sweeney Todd also used this technique, but typically outside of Broadway or a touring show, you're unlikely to see it, just because it makes a regional show that much more difficult to cast. Casting Once must have been like trying to make a souffle. Every ingredient has to be right. Not only does every actor need to be able to act, they also need to be able to act while using an accent, also playing an instrument, sometimes multiple instruments. Oh, and they also need to dance. While Lisette Leglowski's choreography was by no means overly elaborate, it still seemed a lot to ask of cast members who were holding instruments, some as large as a cello. Somehow, director Tim Seib made it happen, using a blend of local and visiting actors. The cast is very nearly flawless. Both Toole and Parpin bring with them more than good looks and musical talent, but an undeniable chemistry and charm. Toole is a born leading man, and Parpin needs to pack her bags and take her talents to New York by now. Unfortunately, Parpin's voice was sometimes drowned out by the musical instruments, but this was an infrequent problem. When she did get her moments to shine, Parpin's beautiful vocals could bring a tear to any theatergoer's eye. The ensemble had a number of standouts as well, including Andrew Nielsen as the eccentric bank manager, who provided one of my favorite scenes in the entire play, and Jack Boyce as music shop owner Billy, who was frequently hilarious, though at times a bit over the top. The show stealer, however, was most certainly actress Megan Ort, who played the hyper-sex-positive Reza. Ort rose above an otherwise uninteresting character with what can only be described as a hauntingly beautiful and powerful singing voice. Literally, three different people I spoke to during intermission used the words hauntingly beautiful when referring to Ort's voice. All of the voices in the musical were a thing of beauty, and that is especially highlighted in the song Gold, an a cappella performance that happens late in the second act. Music director Joanna Lee is deserving of special credit for what she managed to pull out of this remarkable cast. It is also worth noting that Eric Alexander Collins' sound design, along with Christina Munich's lighting design, were expertly combined to help a play with far too many scene changes change those scenes without ever having to actually change the set. This was especially noticeable in a scene where Guy and Girl are watching waves crash on an invisible beach, and another scene when the two are strolling outside under invisible stars. As the music is adapted from a film, too many scene transitions is something that was expected. So instead of building a set which picked a specific location, like a music shop or studio, scenic designer Michael McLean chose a set that would use earth tones and Celtic symbols to indicate a dark, dusty Irish bohemia, and capped the thrust stage off of wooden gates with hanging instruments held together by rope. The show is not without its flaws. The costumes by LeGrand Smith seemed a bit too obvious for my liking, particularly Reza's fishnets and Guy's vest, which helped many of the characters seem like cartoon caricatures rather than actual people. Though, perhaps that is more to blame on my other big hang-up about the show, which is that its characters all felt a bit too much like well-known character types rather than fully fleshed-out humans. The lead characters are, after all, literally named Guy and Girl. While the story has some great depths, after all of these years, it still feels like the music was given more depth than the show's book, which is weird because it's based on a film, and in film it is usually the other way around. Regardless, a musical like Once is an easy show to get wrong, and yet the cast and crew of Raleigh Theatre's production somehow managed to get just about everything right, even with an imperfect script. 4 out of 5 stars.
So you better best be told. And how in the world did you come to be such a lazy love? Oh, it's so simple and fitting.
Hi guys, I'm Allison, as James said, and I'm here to talk to you about Once. The Kennedy Theater is the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts Black Box Theater. For you newbies, that's almost exactly what it sounds like. A 40 by 60 foot room entirely covered in black paint so that directors, with the help of designers and other crew members, can transform the room into whatever they feel suits the needs of the production. In the case of Once, it was very appropriate to use the black box theater instead of a traditional stage. The small cast and the intimate settings provided by Edna Walsh and the film the show was based on worked really well in the cozy space the technical crew was able to create. With just a few set pieces, the room was turned into an Irish pub, a bedroom, a music store, and even the dining room of an eccentric immigrant family. I don't think that could have been accomplished as well as it was in a more traditional staging. Speaking of staging, not to embarrass James or anything, this show was actually done using a traverse stage, not a thrust stage. This is when the stage splits the audience in two, forming a column between the two audiences. In all my years of going to shows and working with shows, I have never actually been to a production that used a traverse stage. The only time I've ever seen it was in a diagram in one of my college theater textbooks. So that cute little theater nerd that lives inside my brain was overjoyed to see something new and refreshing. Lighting shows in black boxes can be incredibly difficult. You're much more limited in the way that you can light things and the angles that you can use. Luckily, this show benefited from the fact that most of the scenes that take place are at night or in darker atmospheres, so the lighting didn't need to be over the top. That being said, Christina Munich's use of the lights really did help put the audience into the right mood and helped us feel like we were right there with the characters. I'd like to give a special shout out to two crew members who likely never get shout outs for this particular position, but Jeffrey Kerr and Heather Murray, the spotlight operators, were phenomenal. I am incredibly picky about spotlight usage. I personally think if you're gonna use a spotlight, you better have an amazing operator. Not once in the entire show did either of them miss a cue or not find their target before the light turned on. Some of that praise does belong to the actors for always being in the exact right spot, but I'd like to give it to the operators on this one. Munich's decision to use spotlights for once was the right call. It's unconventional to use spotlights in such a small theater, but doing so somehow brought the scenes an even bigger sense of poignancy, as if the lighting itself was expressing regret. From a sound standpoint, I'm sure it's hard to have all of the musicians moving around stage, and while the musicians were wonderful, I do wonder if it was necessary to hook up every instrument on stage to amps and mics in such a small theater. Even with the cast being mic'd as well, the vocals provided by certain actors, such as Morgan Parpin, who played Girl, were drowned out more often than is excusable. It wasn't just a fluke, it was an issue. In a lot of the scene changes, and even in a few of the scenes when instruments were being passed around, there was interference caused by the portable amps and mics, which in certain scenes added to the ambiance, like the bar and club scene, but other times it was a bit distracting. Speaking of Girl's vocals, I find fault in the show itself, not this specific production. You have a main character and she barely has any singing in the first act that isn't ensemble singing or harmonizing with Guy or the other females. Girl isn't given her own standalone moment until late in the second act, and by that point she's been overshadowed by the secondary female characters like Raisa. The bulk of the story is technically about Guy's music career, but the show could benefit from bringing Girl's character into the spotlight a little earlier. Like James, I also feel that the costumes were a bit lackluster and defined the archetype of a character rather than the character itself. Instead of seeing Guy, we saw hipster, musically inclined male, or ethnic mother instead of Baruska. I do, however, love all of the different boots that the costumer was able to find. I might be biased, though, because I'm really into boots at the moment. This show, as James said earlier, did have a number of standout actors. While it's easy to get lost in how, to use James's words, disturbingly handsome David Toole is, it is worth mentioning that his looks were just a perk on top of an almost flawless portrayal of Guy. Toole is an incredibly gifted actor and vocalist who was able to make you feel Guy's heartbreak as if it were your own. It is one of the biggest regrets in my theatrical life that I never got to work with Tracy Thomas, who plays Baruska, Girl's mother. She left teaching at UNC Pembroke the month before I arrived, and I was always told I would have benefited from just being around her. So it came as no shock to me when she took stage and commanded not only the attention of the audience, but of the other actors as well. Despite being hidden behind a beautiful but very large accordion for most of the show, she was able to emote and carry on as if it were not there. Raleigh Theatre's production of Once is one I won't be forgetting. In fact, I wish we had at least one more week of shows so I could see it again. Despite its flaws, this production truly touched my heart and reminded me what I love about regional theater and most of all, music.
Awesome. So, okay, I was wrong about the stage. helps to have a education in theater like yourself. But I thought I was giving a good guess. I thought, yeah, it's a thrust stage. It's kind of thrusty. I think it works. But
yeah, I think if I hadn't had that education, or I might not have even remembered. It was just a diagram in a book. but it was very interesting to see. I was thrilled by that.
But yeah, it sounds like we're on much of the same page. I didn't hear the I didn't hear any sound issues as far as distortions of anyone's mics or anything. But you know, I also sometimes I'll get lost in the eyes of the actor playing Guy, and so I was probably blinded to it.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show like what a good actor David Toole was, that he was able to suck you in that hard.
Wrong on many levels.
Well, you already called him disturbingly handsome.
It's true. I mean, you know, I don't necessarily swing in that general direction, but by God, that dude is way too handsome. That is
I
not
probably
fair.
wouldn't say disturbing. I was not disturbed, but I was.
Well, you wouldn't say disturbed. You
I
wouldn't
would
be
say he
disturbed.
was.
You don't have to
I
compete
would
with that.
say that he was a breathtakingly handsome or extremely gorgeous.
I have to try to present myself to the opposite sex while also knowing that that option exists for them. That is not. That is disturbing to me. It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you know, this is obviously an experiment on our part, experimenting with a new format, and it was nice to do it with such a great show. However, I will say that I was kind of thinking, man, you know, negative reviews are so much easier to write, and honestly a lot more fun to write. And as I was watching the show, I was like, damn it, I should probably not use that language, because gosh darn it. Yes, this show is just a spectacular production, and I think everybody involved should definitely be proud of themselves. And that's...
Yeah, I actually feel the opposite way. I find positive reviews so much easier to write, and I think it's just because I'm like a happy, nice person.
I'm a jerk, so...
I had my husband read my review, and he was like, wow, I've never seen you like... not like something, and you said that the costumes were lackluster, and I was like, well, I'm supposed to be honest, right? He's just never seen me like be critical, because I'm like one of those people that likes every, like, I could go see a really, really crappy B movie and I'd be like, it was the
oh
best.
I should have known that before asking you to do this review. I didn't know that you were a overly positive person. Oh, next time, you know, just...
Well, not with theater. Not with something that, like, means so much to me. I can see beyond... I still think that this production was amazing, and I want to see it over and over again. But that doesn't blind me from the fact that there were some issues. And I think that I'm able to say that just because of my education.
Yeah, I think, performance-wise, like, the talent involved with the show was certainly next level. I do think that, you know, this is a show that is based on a film, and I believe it was, like a lot of Broadway shows, it was worked on for a very long time before they finally decided to release it to audiences. I feel like the thing that got the most attention was definitely the music. I felt that the script was somewhat lacking. The ending for me was, I get that it was, and I don't want to give away the ending, but I will say that I felt it was a little anticlimactic. Like, I was like, oh, what was learned? What changed here? But, you know, as a performance, like nothing I'd ever seen. Just an amazing show, and it honestly made me feel as if I was more sheltered when it came to musical theater than I thought I was. Because I know that there was a trend for a while of musicals using their cast as also their band, and I don't live in New York, so I missed that. But I had never seen that live before, and I was really impressed.
Yeah, I do think that you're right. Sweeney Todd did do that, at least on one of their touring shows, because that's the tour of Sweeney Todd that I saw, is that they were playing the instruments on stage, and then they had buckets of blood instead of the traditional ribbons out of someone's neck.
Well, thank you so much for helping me with this review. I initially was thinking, you know, I would write this review by myself, but I was late for the show, which is something you never want to do when you're doing a review, and you were on time, so I was like, I need to be fair to this show. I need to ask Allison, and of course you are also a you know, very knowledgeable when it comes to both journalism and theater, so I thought, you know, you'd be perfect. So thank you so much for helping out, and we are looking to do more reviews for more shows in the future, hopefully shows that people actually will be able to see after hearing our review. So if you have an interest in helping us out with reviews, or if you have a show that you'd like us to review, please do reach out to us. My email address is nctheaterstories@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on the website. Thank you so much, Allison, and I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Dim lights, fade to black.